It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
Welcome to this week's episode of Firearm Friday. I am your host, Chris Dover. This week, we're going to be chatting with a podcaster, a YouTuber, content creator in the firearms world. We're going to be talking with Joe from Shooting Gallery New England. But first, let's talk about Duall Outdoors. Duall Outdoors has been a trusted name in the outdoor world for many years. They have a variety of targets for rifles and pistols, as well as tons of options for shotgunning and sporting clays. You can check out their entire lineup over at DuallOutdoors.com. All right, crew, help me welcome our guest this week. We've got Joe in the house from Shooting Gallery New England and also the Shooting in the Woods podcast. So how are you, Joe?
Crack-clacking.
Not under quarantine, I guess.
I'm not under quarantine yet, man. I'm working in the car business. I'm surprised the dealership hasn't been shut down, but I'm not under quarantine yet. I'm still loving life right now and kind of getting annoyed by all this, I'd call a hoax, if you will, of coronavirus. It's getting kind of old, man. You know, WrestleMania is getting postponed. My NRAM shut down, so I was all excited for NRAM, and that got postponed. But I'm just trying to stay positive, man.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. I know they were, last I heard, they were thinking about the WrestleMania thing. But so they for definite shut that down, huh?
They didn't shut it down. What they were going to do is put it at their performance center, which is kind of like their, for wrestling fans out there or people who've never heard of the performance center, it's pretty much a developmental territory in a sense where they build stars from within. Mm-hmm. And they have this huge place down in Tampa. Well, Tampa is like ground zero right now for that. There's been like two deaths.
Right.
So they were supposed to have it at whatever stadium in Tampa, and Tampa government was like, no, it's not happening. So they're thinking about postponing it until June, which is kind of a bummer because, like, hey, it's WrestleMania. If you guys aren't really big fans of wrestling, I'm sorry. But, you know, listen, right. Tom Brady left us, okay?
Well, that's that's the Super Bowl, definitely, of the wrestling world. So, yeah, I've been a wrestling fan for a while. I haven't kept up in the last quite a few years. It got weird. The kids got grown. I got into some other things and haven't kept up. But, yeah, I've been big into it for many, many years for sure. Now, you mentioned NRAM. Was this your first year for going to NRAM? Or have you been before?
No, I've never been before. I got into guns. I'm 28 now. I've been thoroughly into fighting the firearms in this world, just like, whether it be content creation or learning my craft and stuff like that for a while. And I always wanted to go to NRAM. You know, my ultimate goal is to essentially work into the firearms industry, whether it be for a company or doing some type of consulting or gunsmithing, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go because I live in, for those who don't know, I do live in Massachusetts. So I'm kind of behind the Berlin Wall when it comes to terms of guns. Right. And it's very. I want to enjoy my hobby and my passion better, and I also want to work in an industry that I absolutely love. So I was looking to hopefully when I was at NRAM, get contacts and start kind of networking a little bit because as a car salesman, I do very good with networking. So I like networking, but at the same time, networking myself, hopefully more content onto the channel, more people on the podcast. And at the same time, say, hey, this is what my ultimate end goal is. You know, I've never got into YouTube to make money. I'm not looking to be the number one gun channel. I do it because I love it. But at the same time, it's almost like a live in your face resume. So, but no, I was going to go to NRAM this year. I actually had it all planned out. I booked my flight. Got the hotel room booked, everything, vacation time. And I got the word the other night, and for those who don't know, I'm Richard Hughes of Flying Rich YouTube channel. Me and him were actually going to split the room together and, you know, do a lot of collaboration, stuff like that. He's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we heard and we were like, oh no.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of a letdown, kind of a bummer for sure. Yeah. Now, were you born and raised in Mass?
Yes, I was. I was born and raised in the South Shore. So I'm near Plymouth. I wasn't raised in Boston. I'm on the South Shore, where like near the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your experience with firearms and the firearm culture like growing up there?
So it's interesting with me because, you know, not trying to get political, but it's well known that Massachusetts and most of New England is, you know, very left-leaning and anti-gun. So I never grew up with guns in the house. Like, my dad had BB guns and stuff like that because he raised, like, exotic pheasants and peacocks and all this stuff. So he kind of had to deal with pest control and stuff like that. So, like, I shot a BB gun. I was into, like, airsoft, stuff like that. But, like, I was never introduced. My mom was kind of, like, very hands-off, like, very, like, standoffish. And my dad, he didn't like guns. So it was really weird. You know, I was bullied a lot in high school and growing up. You know, it's a, you know, things happen in life, but I always didn't want to be a victim. And I had my now wife, when I was dating her, when we were dating, her sister's boyfriend was like, "Hey man, do you want to come shooting?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've always loved it. I've always loved to shoot. I've never had a chance to." So he took me out, and it was like we went into like this sand pit behind a graveyard. And kind of like, it wasn't really like, I had like hearing protection, eye protection. He was at least like, I look back on it now, I'm like, wouldn't do that. But it was really fun. We shot a rifle, two shotguns, and a pistol. And I shot my first gun I ever shot was a Ruger P-345. It was one of those double single action 45 ACPs. First gun I ever shot in my life. I don't recommend it for people who are looking to get a gun.
Right. Right.
And then the next gun after that was a Remington 1100 12 gauge. And I ended up buying that gun off that guy later on in the years. And I had to sell it because life happens. I wish I never did because I can't find that gun anywhere. But yeah, no, I got into that. So I took my hunter safety course. You know, I am an outdoorsman. I like going fishing, hunting, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And in Massachusetts, and there's like a few different licensing systems, and it's like very difficult to get a gun because all the hoops you got to jump through. So I got my basic hunter safety course, and that counted as a safety course to get a firearms identification card, or FID, which only allowed me to get rifles and shotguns, just long guns, but you know, 10 round capacity. I think I couldn't go higher than a certain caliber. I don't know, it's all changed now, but I never knew, like, you know, I was kind of like a sheltered kid. I had more things I had to worry about than what was going on in the world, so I never knew like how bad people didn't like guns. Right. And who knew, you know? And in the state I live in too, it's bad. But at the same time, I was always one of those people that, even when I was a little kid, I was raised, my parents raised me to know right from wrong and to be respectful of your elders. And pretty much, you know, my mom always says I'm an old soul because I just, you know, I'm very humble and respectful. I try to keep my head down, do my thing, don't bother anybody. So I never knew like what immigration or like all these like hot topic issues were. So I finally realized like, oh, what do you mean people think it's hard to buy a gun? This is actually like stressful. Like, I'm getting a borderline anxiety attack buying a 22 rifle. So I didn't get my firearms license until I was probably like 21. And then in the state of Mass, no, I was 20. And then the next year I was like, oh, this is fun. So I wanted to buy a pistol because I was a Call of Duty player. So I wanted a HK USP 45 because that was like my gun of choice in Call of Duty, because that was my generation.
Right.
Later on, I found that gun is not mass compliant, so I wasn't even allowed to have that gun. So I got my concealed weapons permit, and it just snowballed from there. Like I fell in love with it. Like most people get into certain hobbies and they're like really about it. Like this was like I found my calling. I couldn't stop watching Iraq Veteran, Strange, Military Arms Channel, Hickok videos. I couldn't get enough. I wanted history. I wanted how to do stuff. I wanted to know all this stuff, and kind of just snowballed into there, man. So my parents were kind of offsetting about it. They didn't understand it. You know, they got divorced. So like my mom kind of got it. So she got her concealed weapons permit in the same class I did. So my mom carries, and you know, I love her to death, and she, you know, she doesn't carry, but she has a, you know, she understands the need for firearms in the Second Amendment. She kind of made a lot of like a 180 on guns because I don't know. I think we all just kind of got it together, and but yeah. So that's kind of my, you know, upcoming story. So and it's cool though. I'm known as the crazy gun nut in my friends group, and I always have to reframe myself because I'm very like so passionate about the Second Amendment. It's like, dude, you don't understand that like you can do this too, man, and you can get into guns like this too, and what you're being told is not always the truth. So don't always believe what you're told. And, you know, it's just something I learned through life. So, yeah, no, I love it.
With some of the first ones that you bought, what are some of the first ones that you bought? You said you couldn't get that HK.
Yeah. I was not, again, this is why I kind of, it led me to starting to YouTube as well. There were certain guys, I just didn't have friends that were into guns. A lot of my friends cared about like stuff that I just could not give a living hell about. They're like, I'm going to college and I'm doing this like study and for some like topic I've never heard of in my life. Or like one kid wanted to be a paleontologist. And I'm like, that's dumb. Like, have you been fishing? Like, that's how I grew up in kind of like a woodsy area, rural area, South Shore, Mass. So I was always camping, hunting, fishing, stuff like that. Like, I didn't bother to, like, I wasn't a book reader. I wasn't really a school person. I wanted to be outside in nature and, like, having fun and kind of learning real world skills. And I'm thankful that my parents brought me up in that. Mm-hmm. So I bought some .22 rifles, got some shotguns. Like my first gun I ever bought was a Mossberg 715T, which is a tactical model. It's essentially a Mossberg 702 Plinkster in this like Fisher Price overmolded AR-15 shell. It was probably the most inaccurate gun I've ever had.
Right,
and it could not cycle anything. And this is before I knew how rimfire guns work, and I was like, oh, okay, it's cool though because it looks like an AR-15, and I didn't even know what an AR-15 was. Like, again, I'm so being sheltered. It was just like it was so enjoyable for every new gun I bought, and then I bought the 702 Plinkster, which is essentially the same gun, and then my first shotgun was a Mossberg 500 Trophy Hunter with all like mossy oak camo pattern. It was wicked cool. I love that gun. But yeah, so then after that, I traded the 715T for her, and I got my concealed weapons permit, and I got a Smith & Wesson SD40 VE, and I love that gun. It's a great starter pistol, but it was in 40. Nowadays, I shit on 40 all the time, pardon my language, but I can't do 40. Oh, I'm a 10 mil guy. I carry a 10 mil right now. It was just funny going into different stuff. But at one point I was, this is before I kind of got into the Sonoran Desert Institute and got really fully into the firearms industry. I did, I was a AAA service driver, did like lockouts and stuff like that. So tax time came around and I didn't know because this high school I went to was very book smart. I was one of the few kids that, you know, I always was like, hey, why do I need to know this? I'd rather know what's going on. I'd rather know firsthand. I need hands-on experience. So I didn't know what taxes, paying taxes were. So when the tax man calls, you got to pick up that phone, man.
Right.
So I sold every gun I had, which included the Remington 1100 that was in like perfect condition, to pay off some debt. And what really got me into it is my father-in-law, he had a Tech 9, Intratec Tech 9, with like the extended mags and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And he knew I got rid of all my guns. He knew I was a wicked big gun guy. So me and my wife, my then fiance, I think we were engaged then, and we got it. We got into our own apartment. He was like, listen, I want you to practice my daughter. Figure it out. And he gave me the Tech 9, and I was just like, and in my head, I'm like, I know how much this is worth. Mm-hmm. A pre-banned gun like that skyrockets in mass because, again, the powers that be deems those guns scary. So it's like, you don't know what you're just handing over, man. So it just spiraled from there. And
is that the Tech 9 that's on your Instagram?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. It's probably one of my most favorite handguns. It's not that reliable because it's how it's made, right, and stuff like that. But I love it.
Yeah, it's one of the things. The Tech 9 definitely keep extra firing pins around. Definitely. But they're fun. Definitely. Now is that one? Have you got the barrel extension and
they're shrouded? It's threaded. Like I never got the barrel extension. I got a 33 and a 20 round mag for it. And a common issue with the Tech 9 is that your charging handle is just going to break off because they're not made to best standards. So funny story. I was shooting that one day and the charging handle just popped right off. And I'm like, oh no, this is like my wife is going to kill me. Mm-hmm. So I put that thing away. Like I hid it for like a year and a half in my safe, and one day because I didn't know where to find parts. I was in Mass. It's hard to hide. I didn't know how I could. I can't like buy certain things that I've shipped to the state just because of the laws. So I found this one website that had it, and I'm like, hey, can you ship to Massachusetts? So I upgraded the charging handle. It's an extended charging handle, but I don't got anything. I can that same website. I can buy the extended barrel shroud and the end cap, so I can put like the sling and stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm. One day I'll do that, but the next 90s and 80s machine pistol I'm looking at is probably like a Mac 11 or Mac 10 or whatever the semi-automatic version is. Just like the Cobra, just to like kind of counteract the Tech 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know my, I've run into an issue with my Tech 9s with magazines. And of course all of mine, I haven't tried any newer production stuff, but the floor plates, I've had two that the floor plates have snapped on. And if you got that thing full of 33 rounds and slap that thing in the floor plate breaks, it's kind of funny because stuff falls out of that magazine forever.
I haven't had that issue yet. I'm starting to get really like primer strikes. So from college, I'm guessing that's a sign that my firing pin's going. So I'm probably going to have to replace the firing pin at some point.
Right. Now, the progression from getting into this, what sort of motivated you to get into the YouTube video podcasting? I guess what I should ask is, which came first for you, the just shooting videos and throwing them up on YouTube or the podcasting side of things?
The videos kind of came first because I always tell people trying to get into the firearms industry in New England is like getting into the professional wrestling industry in the 80s. You had to know someone to know somebody that kind of had an in. So, I am just one of those people that you could read something on a piece of paper and you won't understand it. You have to see me in action or actually talk to me to understand what I'm about. And, so I just started shooting videos with my friend that grew up in the same town I did. He had his own little range. Grew up on a farm. Where I grew up, there's just like horse farms everywhere. Mm-hmm. So he had this horse farm. We had like steel plates set up and stuff like that. Like there's certain ranges that you can't even shoot steel plates at where I live. So it's like I'm so sheltered, so I want to get the experience stuff new. So his name's Ethan. We started shooting videos together, and my whole end game was, you know, I want to start doing content. I love it. I had like a general outline of like I wanted to do a YouTube channel, because when I looked at YouTube, I like looking at, like, you know, when I'm trying to get some tools and stuff for my gunsmith and bench, stuff like that, I want to see how it works. You know, I need to see it visually. And I wasn't seeing a lot of content like that. Plus, I love building guns up, like getting it, like whether it be a bolt action. I can't do ARs, unfortunately, because that's all weapons banned in Mass. But like 1911s, 1020, I'm really into 1022s. Like, I love the, like, creativity you can have in there. I consider it almost like an art form. So I wanted to kind of do a channel based on, okay, you take a platform like the 1022, go over all the aftermarket accessories, do builds and stuff like that, kind of like how Tactical Toolbox does it, but again, not just Glocks. Like, I didn't want to do a lot of Glock videos. Like, right. And it organically grew from there. Like, I don't consider myself a reviewer. I just like to present and stuff like that. I have this new series I've been working on called Gunsmith Alley, which is I'm going over like common gunsmithing tools that someone who's starting out as a gunsmith or just wants to be a home hobbyist wants to have good tools around. Mm-hmm. I'm going over like, okay, how do you use them? This is what it is. How, like, you know, where can you find it? Is it good? Would you recommend it? Kind of how it works, stuff like that. And then, I also have something called How To Wednesday, which is essentially I show you how to do something that's within the YouTube law, like, policy. So it's just, I have so much, it's so fun, like, creatively, my mind's always going of, like, what videos I can do. At the same time, the podcast, that happened because I love my wife to death, and she's not really that gun friendly. Like, she likes them, but she's not like into them as much as I am. So like I go on rants and stuff like that, and I have all this knowledge of collected over years, and especially through college and stuff like that with Sonoran Desert Institute and stuff like that. And it just organically happened, and I just fed all that energy into a podcast. My first podcast I ever did, I didn't understand the relay on YouTube, and it was just over speaking. It was just bad. But then we got into it, and I just did my 40th episode on Wednesday, and I absolutely loved it.
Nice. Now, as far as the podcast, what people that want to tune in for that, what type of a flow can they expect to that? Is it single topics? Does it go down a bunch of rabbit holes? How does it normally work?
It depends. I like to get guests on as much as I can. You know, scheduling, it's tough. But I'll give like a general outline. It usually is depending on my shift that week. It's either on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do it live on YouTube for about an hour, hour and a half. The longest running episode we had was I had Josh and Josh from Black Diamond Guns and Gear. That went up that went almost 2 hours. That went down some rabbit holes, man. At the very end, me and Bigger Josh were talking about this. For those, again, I'm a very, very big professional wrestling fan. So we were talking with AEW, which is a new company on TNT, just starting up. And little Josh is just like, yeah, oh yeah. This is like a 15-minute conversation. He's like, yeah, man, that's cool. You know, I'm not really that into it. Right. So, it's just depending on who it is, and it also gives me an opportunity to talk to people that, you know, I've watched over the years. You know, my first big guest that I was like surprised, and it kind of humbled me, because knowing the fact that I've watched guys like Brandon Herrera, I've had John Patton from the Gun Collective, I've had Johnny from 182nd Ideas, I've had a lot of people on that. I was just like, I was humbled, because the people in this community, in the gun community, are just so like, yeah, man, I'll definitely help you out. They're just so nice and wanting to build someone up no matter what. You know, I only have 122 subscribers, and I feel like so humbled the fact that you know, I'm just a small channel, and they're willing to come on a podcast. Like, that's awesome. It makes me feel like, you know, hey, I'm in the right industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's, and it's something that we've got to do. I mean, I think we've all got to, we got to come together. I mean, not everybody obviously is going to get along. I mean, you've mentioned, you've thrown out quite a few names already that I'm sure there's people out there listening that's like, oh, screw that guy or screw this guy.
Yeah.
And God. You know, there's, you know, and people have their, there's people that have these rifts between them, and there's all these feuds that go on, and there's all this other stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day as a whole, yeah, I mean, I find pretty much the same thing. I mean, everybody is usually fairly willing to help out, and you know, it's just a matter of timing on a lot of it. That seems to be what I find anyway with most folks, is that it's just a matter of getting, I mean, heck, even with you, right? I mean, it took a little bit of finagling and a couple of weeks or something like that to get things scheduled out. So
thank you again, Chris, for having me on too. This is big for me. I've only been on one other stream, and I was just like, I've seen you guys on the Lifestyles of Lockwood podcast and stuff like that, and it's like, dude, this is awesome. Like, I feel like so happy doing this, man. And to the point with, like, you know, riffs and stuff like that, I personally think that is the dumbest thing this community could have. Like, it's almost like, you know, no matter where you are, it's a life lesson. And high school never ends for some people, but
yeah, here's my take with that. And I think it's a pretty healthy take. And I think I'm a person that I can navigate a lot of this community better than others. And I think that I'm just, you know, it's tough. I don't want to toot my own horn or sound like I'm Demo Ranch hates kids, by the way. I don't want to sound like that dude. But even back in, I can remember, you know, junior high school and stuff like that, mainly high school. You know, one night I was hanging out with the preppy kids. The next night I was shooting basketball with the black kids. The next night I was at a kegger with the rednecks. I never had a problem hanging out with whoever, you know what I mean? I never really fit into any niche or any category like that. It's like, okay, I like Cristal as much as I like Budweiser. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter to me. It's about the interaction and the conversations, and there's good people in all walks of life. Right. And so, I think that's part of the reason. And I think you find other people, I'm not special in that. I think other people are the same way, that, you know, when you talk about the community we're in, they can cross over to a lot of those little cliques and stuff. And I think that's a good thing, because, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you wouldn't want the divides or the rifts or the cliques or whatever. But there's a couple of things that I believe that it's necessary to have those, because what creates the cliques and the divisions and the other things and these feuds and these other things is that we're all individuals, and individuals are not all going to walk in lockstep and think the same way and have the same opinions and like the same stuff. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. Individualism is what settled the West. Individualism is what founded this nation. And, you know, it's a great thing. And unfortunately, that's something that we have to deal with occasionally, is those divides and stuff. But there's a certain segment. I put myself in that segment. There's certainly other people out there that are the same way, that act as bridges in a way between some of the rifts. I've got friends on my phone now that hate each other, but I can talk to both of them. I can talk to both of them, but they hate each other. They're never going to talk to each other, you know? So you mentioned earlier about missing out on NREM and some of the networking and the connections and the other things you can make. And you learn that real quick when you start getting deep into it. You start going to USCCA and SHOT Show and all of these other things, and NRA and all these other things. You start learning the value of the networking, because it's not about knowing somebody. If you can know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, a lot of times that's just as good, and it still gets the job done.
Yeah.
So this attitude that a lot of people have, I get it. In a perfect world, it'd be great that we all come together and sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya, and that's great. But if you really start to think about it, do you want to give up your individualism for that? And my answer to that is no.
Exactly. You know, it's almost like you got to, in terms of like being an individual, you should have, like, that is what is going to get you farther in life than being part of a so-called group. Like, it's kind of like, best example I could give is especially how this country was founded. You know, you have, in some ways, what England thought was separatists and people who had their own individual way of thinking. So they decide, okay, the best decision for our way of life is let's do our own thing. So you disconnect from a place that you don't want to be. And they were, you know, yeah, we were persecuted. We were persecuted in the founding of this country. Wars were started over it, but at the same time, we were individuals, even though we were in a group. But the individuals, like our founding fathers, they know, you know, they laid the groundwork and gives you and me the freedom to do this today, where you could have your channel do something like, you know, what you do with your channel, I do for what mine is. But, you know, we're just, as long as, it all depends on how you were raised. You know, as long as you, you know, as long as we were raised to have the individuality, you know, it all is up to the person. You know, I was in that same boat. I think differently, maybe because I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm an a-hole. So I just, I have this thing of like, I have the best BS meter in the world, mm-hmm. because of, you know, hey, when you're bullied and stuff like that, you know, when someone, you know, I've been through some stuff in my life and I know when someone's lying to me. Also, right. It helps out with my work because I'm a car salesman, so I can tell when someone's lying to me.
Right.
That is, I say it's a good thing and it's a bad thing too, because at the same time I'm waiting for someone to lie. So that's why, you know, your individuality is, as long as you're genuine, I think it's better. Right. Help you better on in life. But I think differently. From my, I'm not the type of kid in my age bracket that should think like that. But at the same time, I'm glad I was raised the way I was. You know.
Now, going back to the videos and the podcasting, yeah. As far as YouTube, is that the only platform you're on, or are you starting to branch out to some other ones as well?
What I did was, when I did the channel, I knew, obviously, with YouTube, they're not really gun-friendly, so I did start I'm on Facebook. I just started a Facebook. I didn't do it for the first year. I'm coming up on a year. Coming up on a year for the podcast, almost a year and a half for the being a channel. And, but from day one, I started a GunStreamer account because, yeah, my GunStreamer account doesn't get the best traffic, but at the same time, I always felt that it gives you an extra opportunity, Valley Cubicle or something like that. It's, you know, I like GunStreamer. I don't have that many subscribers on there. But every time I have a podcast, once it's done, I always upload it to GunStreamer, and every video that I post simultaneously gets posted to GunStreamer as well. I'm on Reddit. I don't really use Reddit that much because I don't understand it. It's like Twitter. I don't understand Twitter.
I get it. Everybody kind of has their wheelhouses.
Yeah.
I think at this point, with especially as many of the podcasts as you have under your belt, I think getting into, and it, and unfortunately it costs money to do this. That's a whole other thing. It's not exorbitant, but does cost a little money, is getting into the actual podcast platform game.
getting into the Apple Podcast, the Google Podcast, potentially iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. I could go on and on with all of the various podcasting outlets that are out there. So that's something maybe to talk about, maybe off air or something like that, but branching out to that. Yeah. And as many places as possible, right? Because, you never know. And what's interesting, what I find interesting about being diversified across, good Lord, 36 different platforms. I don't even know the count at this point, but every time I can find a new one, someplace I can pimp my stuff, you know what I mean? It's going over there. And what's interesting is you pull different people and different types of audiences. And so you'll have a video or something or a podcast or whatever it is that goes out and it's just crap on YouTube. It's like, man, this tanked my channel averages big time. And then you go look at it on Full 30 or Gunstreamer or Brideon or Trending, or I could go on and on about the various different platforms that are out there. And you'll pick one of those, and one of those it hits, right? And it's doing well. I've had the same thing. I don't understand Reddit either. I understand Twitter better than Reddit. But Reddit, I'm at a loss. Reddit, as far as I can tell, and I'll tell you my little trick for Reddit. Reddit is one of those that's really time consuming. You really have to be involved in the communities there and everything. And that's just, it's too weird of a place for me to be that involved. Now, there are some forums and some platforms and some other things that I am involved in because I enjoy the experience there. Reddit's just never been one of them. But the way that I work Reddit is I've got some really good friends. I hate to even call them subscribers or supporters or followers. I hate to even do that because I don't view anybody that, that comes to the channel regularly and listens to the stuff, and watches the video. I think it's diminishing if you've got really loyal, I'm going to say followers and put it in air quotes. It's sort of diminishing to call them that in a way. But anyway, I've got a few that are really engaged and they do Reddit. So they help out by actually sharing to Reddit. So I've had some pretty good luck with that. And so with, we can't push that enough. I don't say it enough. I don't think any channel out there says it enough. They always, like, share, subscribe, thumbs up. They kind of burn through the whole thing, click the bell notification, whatever. But as a whole, we don't really push the share enough. And the share is what's huge. The share is what makes things go viral. The share is what really ups that view count. But that takes more time than just clicking a thumb or clicking a subscribe. So you've got a certain section or demographic of your viewership, let's call it. And it's a very small percentage that are actually going to take the time to actually share to other platforms they use and stuff like that. But as far as Reddit, I'd say keep an eye on some of your viewers that you have now and those that are more Reddit aware or Reddit educated. Maybe put that task on them to help you out with some shares every now and then.
Yeah. I have a few actually friends and just who have other channels like Slob Guns. He's been kind of giving me some pointers left and right when I was really, because I started just using like my iPhone with like a gimbal and stuff like that. Then I upgraded it to, hey, I'll get a new mic system. And then now I got this brand new camera that I love, do audio mic system. Like it's like, I feel like awesome bringing that to the range, getting it set up. But Slob Guns, he's a channel out there. He's got around like 2,000 or 3,000 subscribers. And, he does good content, but he's always very helpful. A couple other channels like Affordable Optics and Rifle Reviews. The good thing is the gun channel community, I feel, is just more helpful than anything else. I feel very happy knowing the fact that, if I really had like a serious question, I could reach out to, better known channels. Like, hey, how do I do this? Like when I was going through some live streaming, funny story, I got up to like 19 episodes after like episode 17 or 18. My friend Ethan, who I started the channel with, started the podcast with, everything like that. He had some family issues going on, and I get it. You know, I love the kid to death, and I wish him nothing but the best. I always say you're always welcome to come back on. You know, it's just, life happens. So I had what I call the dark episodes of dark episode 19. Tried doing it three separate times. I had the lovely ladies from Hold My Guns, Sarah Ulbrich and Genevieve Jones, and they could not be any nicer. I just had tech problems after tech problems after tech problems, and I'm just like, oh no, I look like such a dumbass, man. And they were just like, no, it's okay. So I'm like, all right, listen, let's just do this on Instagram, and it was just like. Like I want to have him back on just to like kind of redeem myself from that, because like I hold myself like, listen, I have to be like very professional, but I want to at least know what I'm doing, and you know it's a learning curve for everybody, but it's just like I look back on those like it's like, you know, the dark episodes of I was recording them for a while until I found StreamYard, which I love StreamYard, it's so user friendly for stuff like that. And at the same time, though, people are starting to get into, you know, there's certain people that, you know, my videos are getting out there, and I'm loving it. Like, when I hit 100 subscribers, and I'm like, oh, wow, I bet this is awesome. I never thought I'd make 100 subscribers. You know, I'm giving myself incremental goals. Like, I'm not doing Patreon right now because I just feel I don't need to have Patreon. I don't need to have a subscribe star.
Oh, I disagree.
Do you think so?
I totally disagree with you. Yeah, you need to, and I'll talk you into it, you know, before we're... Maybe not before we're done recording, but eventually I'll get you talked into it. Yeah, Patreon is, pardon me. Honestly, it's a little weird right now. It's a little frustrating at times, but you've got to realize that you're dealing with, again, people that have lives. And so people come and go and that sort of stuff. And especially right now, with some of the stuff going on, I know people are having hard times. I mean, heck,
yeah.
The whole industries and everything shutting down. I'm even dealing with that to an extent with me and my family and extended family and whatever. So it's interesting that you brought that up. So I get it that you got to drop people on Patreon or cut back or do this or do that. But here's the farce about Patreon that it really aggravates me when I hear people say, oh, I don't need it. I don't want it. We just got through talking about diversifying across platforms. Patreon is a platform. Yes, it is a platform where people can support you, but it's a platform nonetheless. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Subscribestar. I'll admit that straight up front, but Patreon is awesome. I do multiple pieces of content just for Patreon people every month. There is a lot of engagement. That is where the most loyal of the loyal can come together. And you can go to Patreon. You can set up your Patreon account. You can put all your levels in for support and all this good kind of stuff. You don't have to give out perks for each level. You don't have to do special content necessarily. But let's say you're doing videos and you go to the range and you get these videos done and you've got three videos in the can. Well, you're not producing any extra content. You've got those three videos. You're going to release those over the next couple of weeks. Go ahead and release them all at once on Patreon. Go ahead and upload them, make them unlisted, put the unlisted links over on Patreon, let those people have access to them a week or 2 weeks early or whatever. Really simple to do. And then the other thing is you don't even have to. You could let people support you and let people buy into or whatever, pledge to those different tiers that you set up. But you can make content public. There are people that I see that they have no content that's behind a paywall at all over there. So it's like, it's just an extra place to put your stuff and an extra place to put your, to engage with people. And like I said, the tools that are at your disposal with being able to post pictures and videos and audio clips and how to do polls and all of this other stuff is pretty awesome. I'm a big fan of the platform. I know it gets a bad rap from a lot of people because a lot of people don't want to adhere to private companies policies and whatnot. They want to take umbrage with it, and rather than saying, hey, I don't agree with this policy, so I'm pulling out of Patreon. I'm not going to be on Patreon anymore. They turn it all on Patreon, that Patreon is being anti-gun. Patreon is doing this. Patreon screwed them over. Nobody should use Patreon, blah, 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 blah. And the net effect of that is that hurts everybody when you do that. If you can't do what you need to do on Patreon, I get it. But I'm more of the type person, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Patreon, whether it's PayPal, whether it's whatever company I'm dealing with that is, in the end, not pro-Second Amendment, pro-firearm, but it's a necessary evil, something that you've got to deal with if you want to get your message out and you want to get your content out and you want to keep creating and nurturing these relationships and networking and do all this other stuff. We have to use these tools at our disposal. And in order to use them, we have to understand them, first of all, and then we have to figure out how to play the game. How do we play? How do we achieve the goals we want to achieve by this particular rule book? It's the same as if you were going to go into, you'd never known anything about baseball. I'm not a big sports fan, but I'm going to use this analogy. You don't know anything about baseball. And so you're like, well, I should be able to hit the ball, run to third, run back to home, and score. No, that's not the way the rules, not the way the rules go. You know? Yes. Okay. You're a good ball striker. You can hit really well, but you know what? You're going to have to figure out how to play the game. You're going to have to figure out how to play the game the best of your ability within those rules. That's why they're there.
Yep. Yep. I actually 100% agree with you on that. I think the only other reason why is because, like, you know, I set aside usually Sundays. That's like my filming day. Like, I'll do like 12 hours of just like content, whether it be editing, filming, tweaking some things. And like, I just love doing it. Like, I'll bring all my guns out and, you know, do my thing. And at the same time, it's like, I would never, if someone, you know, cares about my content enough to where they want to support me, dude, like, I'm one of those people, like, give me your number, man. Like, I'm going to give you a call right now and thank you personally. Like, that's how, like, grateful I am. And I always had this plan where, okay, I'm at 100 subscribers. This is where I'm looking at my channel. This is what type of guns I want to get into. This is what I want to do. Then get to like 250. All right, I'm gonna do a giveaway. Then 500. I think that's where I'm like, hey, me, if I got 500 subscribers, let's do like a Teespring t-shirt or something like that. And just kind of incrementally build from there. But like, it's like right now, I'm wicked excited since, you know, my subscribers are going up, doing more content. Like, I'm in the works of kind of, I'm trying to figure out how I can do it. Cause most of my time when it comes to working on my channel, it's more of, okay, how can this type of video series work? Where like, I don't want to have it just all random stuff. Like, I like the process. Like, you have this video series for shotguns, this video series for pistols, and on and on. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm looking at like consignment guns, like stuff you find, because not everyone can afford a Wilson Combat and an Agency Arms gun.
True.
But at the same time, when you go to a gun store, I love traveling gun stores. Like, that is like, that's like my Christmas. When, you know, the wife's away, or even when the wife's with me, I'll just, you know, oh, I'm going to pop into the store real quick and just see what the inventory is. Because you never know. Like, you never know what you'll find. Like, I got out of work early last weekend, and I just posted a video on this on a Mossberg. I just got a Mossberg 183 bolt action 410. Mm-hmm. Bought it for $100. And, like, the value in that gun, I found, it was awesome. So as I'm waiting for my unconstitutional background check to come back, it just takes forever, man. It's federal, state, and for those who are wondering, it does not take 10 seconds. It takes a long time to fill the paperwork out. But as they were doing their thing, I'm just looking on the inventory, and like, to put this in context, Mass has such strict laws that when you see stuff that you've seen, like YouTube videos on, stuff like that, I'm a special case because, like, I just retain all this, like, information. I like talking product. Like, it's just, like, I love it. So I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, this one shop who's, like, you know, 5 minutes up the road from me, he's got a wide variety of, you know, rifles, shotguns, military surplus. I'm like, I love military surplus. I love that stuff. It's affordable, depending on the firearm. But at the same time, it's just fun to shoot, knowing that, like, a 100-year-old gun is still singing like a tune, you know, like,
right.
So I'm looking at the pistol case on one of the used counters. I'm like, oh, wow. And I know the guy my name. I'm like, hey, man, that's cool. I didn't know you, you know, that's cool. You got an Astra Model 400 there. And he looked, he like gave me a look. He's like, yeah. And so I'm just walking around. I'm like, oh, dude. And he's like, what's up? I'm like, oh, he had a Dutch Beaumont rifle, the old military surplus rifle. And it, like, I was like amazed because I was like, oh, I always love this. This is cool. And he's looking at me. He's like, hey, man, how do you know what these guns are? I'm like, I just, I never retain stuff. I'm a huge gun guy. I love it. He's like, I respect that, man. But like, I'm looking around and just like, even with the old like Stevens, old Savage guns, stuff like that, like, it's just, it, I geek out over it. It's like, it's a part of history that not everyone overlooks. But at the same time, it's affordable for people who, you know, want just some type of firearm, whether it be a 22, a 410, you know, even guys that are like, oh, I have this 308 bolt gun or like a old Remington auto loader, just some type of fire. It's better than a sharp stick, you know?
Yeah.
That's my mentality with it when it comes to stuff like that. Or, you know, and like, I got some more. I think the most, like, my prized, most expensive gun I own is the one I just picked up. It's I picked up the SR 1911 stainless. This is like my prized gun so far, next to, you know, a few other pieces. Because again, when you live in a state, and that's why, like, I'm looking to move out of state, because like, I can't enjoy the firearms industry as much as I can in Mass.
Right.
So there's a running joke with my wife that, you know, we're looking to do like Florida, like not Southern Florida, but like mid to Northern Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, my all the stars align. I think my ideal thing was living in that area. And, you know, I'd work for a company like Kel-Tec. If I could get a job landed with Kel-Tec, oh, that I would be happy for the rest of my life. Like, you know, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to do anything I can to get there. And I'm going to knock down doors, and literally, like, if it gets me in there, I'll do it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the running joke with my wife is the second we pass the Mason Dixon, it's just going to be AR lowers, AK max. It's just as we're moving, I'm just like, oh, no, we're picking this up.
Right.
Yeah.
So with the content, what do you got? What are you looking at? Goals for the future and plans as far as that goes?
So with content, it's kind of the sky's the limit, man. You know, I like to have like a certain niche. But at the same time, I look at it as learning. Like, I want people to learn from my content. If I could help someone out like that, like, I made it. Like, as long as if I help someone make a decision, that's awesome. So like, I'm eventually looking to get into maybe some reloading series. I'm not just like, you have the typical reloading. I'm not a reloader. I'm looking at, that's like one section I want to get into. I really want to start focusing on just like more, a lot of gunsmithing content, how-to videos, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm really focusing on my 1022 work right now, just like kind of upgrading it to, you know, small incremental changes, some maybe ammo comparisons. But in regards to reloading, once I kind of get everything all set, most people always, you're going to see reloading channels that have 9, 45, 10 mil, just like the common stuff. But I want to do like kind of like cool, like not uncommon, but like stuff you don't see. Like, God forbid that, you know, God willing, I get, you know, I pick up a 50 cal or something like that. Like, you know, do a reloading series on, oh, you can get this bullet with this primer. Just kind of like pick and pull stuff like that. And I, you know, I've had a few like Amazon sellers like send me some like gun stuff. So I've done some videos with that. I'd like to start reviewing a lot more like product, just because like I love it. It's like talking product. If I feel passionate about it, I'm going to love it. Like I sell Jeeps and Rams. So I believe in that product. You know, for those who are out there who are not Jeep or Ram fans, you know, again, you have that opinion. That's just what I fell into. Same thing with guns. Like, I could tell you every bit and piece of a 1911, and I'll have a smile on my face doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing with a Grand Cherokee. You can put a Grand Cherokee in front of me, I'll make you want to buy five. You know, it's I right. love doing it. And if I could teach them to do that, it's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it makes a difference. I mean, when you get into, you talk about the Amazon sellers and those guys, and I do a little bit of that here and there, but it's always nice, you know, once you get out and start making the rounds with NRA and SHOT, and making your contacts within the industry, and especially when you get the opportunity to work with companies, you know, big, well-known, established, you know, not necessarily big, but more well-known and established companies in the industry. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That you already use their products, right? And stuff like that. It opens up. It's a whole different scenario than the, you know, cheap Chinese stuff from Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, I have this cheap Chinese ankle holster, man. Oh my Lord. I'm a big dude. Like, so this doesn't work for me. I don't have like chicken legs, if you catch my drip. I got some, right. I got some meat on me. And like, I tried walking around one day, cause like I have to wear dress pants for work. Like I dress very professional, but at the same time I want a gun on me. So I tried wearing it like one day. I threw my Glock 19 in there, and like, I could tell it was Chinese made. Like I'm so grateful the guy sent this to me, but I'm like, all right, I'll write him a good review. Whatever. I can't. It's decent. I just have like treat. I have like California redwoods for legs.
Right.
Like it didn't work for me, but well, for some other people, it'll work. You know.
I think the key, once you get off into the review world, I think the key is to go into everything with an open mind.
Yeah.
And step back and look at things big picture. You know, like some of the cheap optics that I've been sent or something like that. You know, who would this appeal to? Well, if somebody bought, you know, had a air rifle, you know, a cheap air rifle, and they just needed a cheap optic. If somebody, maybe somebody is, they go hunting, you know, a couple of weekends a year or something like that. I mean, is this going to hold up, you know, for them? You know, and they've got the, whatever, the economy package rifle, or maybe they got an old rifle one, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Picked up a consignment deal for, you know, $100, yeah, $150, and that's the best they could do. And you know, $50 on a scope is better than $100 or $150 or $500. You know, what does that product, you know, work for, right? And so, you know, I think it's, you know, a lot of people want to do reviews, and they throw their biases in on the review a lot of times. They'll get it and they don't personally like it, and they leave the review at that. They leave the review at, here's the thing, I don't like it. And not, here's what I don't like about it, right? I don't like this feature, and here's why I don't like these features. Well, you've just given somebody knowledge, because me not liking something, the next person, depending on what that feature is, or if they're even going to use that feature, or they care about that feature or whatever, that may not be a deal breaker for them. So, you know, it's better to explain yourself a little more. And then I always try to come up good and bad, right? So I get something that's a complete turd, I try to come up with something. Okay, where's the good?
I know how you feel, man.
Where's the good on this, right? And the same way, even when I'm sent something that's awesome, right? It's something that's like, I know this is coming. I know it's going to be off the chain. I know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be near flawless, you know, 5 out of 5 stars, whatever. What can I find? I got to be able to find something from some perspective that's a negative. Right. So it's like, well, okay, this is a full size pistol. So, you know, this is probably not going to be optimal for carry or something like that. Or, you know, I got a drop leg holster that I absolutely love from Alien Gear, but I mean, it's awesome holster, but it's not everybody's cup of tea. I mean, it's more of a range wear. I mean, if you're an RSO or something like that, spend a lot of time out on a range, I mean, it's probably great for anybody else, you know, not so much. So giving that complete perspective when you're doing a review, I think it's really important.
Yeah. I find in gunsmithing tools a lot too. Like there's one company, I'm not going to say the name, but like I use a lot of their products, but there's just some tools that like, I just don't like that they make. And I posted one on a trigger gauge, and it's just, I tried to make it so like, hey, this is my opinion. I like this company's products on XYZ all the way up to, you know, reverse alphabet order. Mm-hmm. This one product, I just don't have luck in, but some people might, because the product I did before was another trigger gauge, and I had glowing things about it, you know, but at the same time, I did, it's more of how you present it, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, it's funny, because, like, I'm honored that if you want to send me something to review, oh, awesome, I'd love to do this, but at the same time, it's, like, I have such a conscience, like, this sucks. Like I'm gonna try and say some bad, you know, very nice things about it, but like, that's just not how I am. If I think something sucks, I'm gonna say like, listen, this is not recommended, but this can work out there. Like I feel bad like that I say that, you know, that's how I think. But at the same time, it's like I've been there where I've bought stuff. If I was really big into YouTube and started watching YouTube videos when I was first getting into firearms, I would have known not to buy that pointy rifle I bought. Mm-hmm. Right. Even with mini mags, I couldn't even get that cycle. But at the same time, that's why I like doing videos and stuff like that, because like, I don't want someone to say, for instance, buy a handgun, and there's not that much videos on it, or they're looking for a specific part of that firearm or whatever. I don't want someone to buy that. I would feel so bad. Someone picked up, say, a High Point, for instance. I have a video on a High Point 45 carbine. Everyone goes a 9 or, you know, 40 or the 10 mil. You know, hey, who wouldn't love 10? 10's the best millimeter. But say someone wanted to get into 45 because they have a 1911. There's not a lot of videos on the 45 carbine. What if someone bought it and like, man, I hate this? And all of a sudden they're like, you know, I wasted my time getting all my licensing and, you know, buying the gun, and I don't like it. Why did I even do this? And then they just swear off guns forever and turned into someone who is against firearm ownership. Like that's the beauty I feel with YouTube on the gun industry side, because there's new gun owners every day, and they're all first thing. And we live in an age where first thing everyone goes to YouTube. They're going to say, okay, I want Glock 19, and you get about 30 million videos of Glock 19. Or, hey, I want a Ruger 10/22, and then your laptop just kind of skips off the table because it's just so much content out there. Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's wind it down, Joe. I want to give you a chance to plug the channel and the Instagram, the YouTube, and everything else. So if you would, throw all that out there for everybody before we get out of here.
All right. Hell yeah. So, guys, thank you. I appreciate you bringing me on, Glover. This has been a great conversation. But you can find me at Shooting Gallery NE on YouTube. It's the Shooting Gallery New England YouTube channel. I try to make at least 2 videos a week. The Shooting with podcast is either on Monday or Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Usually goes for an hour. It's a live feed, so join the chat. You know, I'm always able to answer questions depending on the topic. We're going to be coming up on our year of doing the Shooting with podcast. I'm really excited for that episode, guys. So also you can check me out on Gunstreamer at Shooting Gallery NE. NE is abbreviated for New England, for those who are wondering. Every video that gets posted on YouTube is always posted over to Gunstreamer. My social media, you can find me at Shooting Gallery NE on Facebook, and Shooting Gallery New England, one word, all lowercase. It's at Shooting Gallery New England on Instagram. I think that's all my social media. I don't got the website, but don't forget, obviously, like, share, and subscribe. You know, you got to do that whole thing. You know, and check out CloverTech. CloverTech is great enough to have me on, so check him out, too.
All right, man. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Be safe out there with everything going on, and good luck to all you're doing in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertech.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, You can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertech. Have a great weekend.